Before we begin tonight, I want to ask everyone to please get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible tonight, you're going to have great difficulty. And I ask you to be in special prayer. I felt led very strongly about what to preach tonight. And to me, it's the most important message that God's people ever need to hear. If I had one subject, one message, if I had one opportunity to preach to all of God's people all over the world, this is the message that I would try to preach. And I know that some of you already completely understand everything that I'm going to preach tonight. I know that you understand the scriptures. And yet it's important that we become teachers of other people. So it's important for us to know how. It's not only important for me to know the truth and you to know the truth, but it's important for us to teach others what the truth is. And that was one of the things Brother Neil mentioned very clearly in his prayer, that he prayed that God would teach us and then we would leave and go teach others the truth of God's holy word, and that the disciples would be multiplied. So that's the purpose of us gathering together, one of the many purposes. We've come to worship God, we've come to study God's word, but we've come to be taught, and we've come to then learn how to teach others. And I ask all of you to pray that God will bless us as we go through the study tonight, that God will help us. And I encourage you again to please get a Bible. I encourage you to pray that God will bless you and me. First of all, that God will bless me to be able to preach what's on my heart. And then I pray that God will bless every person here, that we might be able to hear and understand the truth of God's word. And if you don't pay attention, you're going to get lost. It's kind of like if you were trying to go somewhere if you were trying to go 80 miles and you only had 60 minutes to do it, and you were going through Jacksonville, you would be going very fast, wouldn't you? And it's important that we cover all of the material that we're going to look at, but it's important that we study it at one time. So please pray that God will bless us as we try to study His holy word. Please follow in the word of God, and please pray that God will help me to preach and bless you to follow in the word of God. One of the most common problems among Christians today, and one of the greatest controversies that arises when God's people begin to talk, is what do you have to do to go to heaven? That's what causes most denominations. That's what causes most of God's people to divide, is a difference of opinion on what do you have to do to go to heaven. Now, if we're going to understand that truth, and if we're going to break down the barriers between God's people, the first thing that I believe that we must look at is the fact that there is more than one heaven taught in the Bible. And that's the first thing I want us to look at, is that the Word of God speaks of more than one heaven. There is only one heaven when this world is over. That's the eternal heaven where all the family of God will be forever. There is only one heaven then. But there are other heavens taught in the Word of God, and there is a heaven for God's obedient children while they live right here in this world. So the first thing I want us to establish is there is more than one heaven taught in the Bible. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. Look at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. We're not going to try to identify all the heavens, but we are going to just establish there is more than one heaven taught in the Bible. And when we understand that, we start talking about what do we have to do to go to heaven, then the first thing you need to ask is, well, which heaven are you talking about? Because it makes a difference in which heaven you're talking about as what has to be done for a person to be there. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, the Apostle John writes and says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Now, how many heavens are mentioned in that verse of Scripture? There are two heavens. He says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. So there are two heavens mentioned in that verse of Scripture. Now back up in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, now the first thing we're trying to establish from God's Word is that there is more than one heaven taught in the Bible. There is the eternal heaven, and usually when we hear the word heaven, that's the heaven we think about. Entering the eternal heaven, when we leave this world, entering the eternal heaven is by grace. Entering the eternal heaven is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Entering the eternal heaven is not based on our works, our obedience, our faithfulness, or our believing. Entering the eternal heaven is completely because of what God has done for us. And then there's another heaven called the kingdom of heaven. We'll be looking at that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2, the Word of God says, Paul writing, he says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the, what are the last two words there in that verse of Scripture? Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. Now, I'm going to ask a child that's been following in the Word of God, I'm going to ask you to tell me how many heavens does this verse of Scripture tell us that there are? Okay, Brother Rance? Three. Very good. I want you to know that God's Word is not difficult to understand. I want you to know that as we go through the Word of God, if the Spirit of God will bless us and we look at what God's Word actually says, it is easy to understand the Word of God. The Word of God says here that a man was caught up to the third heaven. Now, if he was caught up to the third heaven, there have to be at least three heavens taught in the Word of God. So the first thing we're looking at is that there is more than one heaven taught in the Bible. Now, the second thing is, we're going to concentrate our study not on the eternal heaven, which most of God's children already know about, but we're going to concentrate our study tonight on the kingdom of heaven that God has prepared for His obedient children while they live here in this world. It's called the kingdom of heaven. It's also called the kingdom of God. Those two phrases, kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God, are used interchangeably in the Scriptures. For example, if I were to say Holy Spirit, tell me another word that you could use instead of Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. And if I say kingdom of heaven, the Word of God also uses in some places the words kingdom of God. So the phrases kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God, those two phrases are used interchangeably in the Scriptures. Usually, when Matthew is recording the words of Jesus, he says that Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven. When Luke is recording the same day in the life of Jesus, Luke always says that Jesus said, the kingdom of God. So Matthew typically calls this heaven the kingdom of heaven. Luke always calls it the kingdom of God. It's a heaven right now. And I want you to be able to teach others that the phrase, I want you to be able to prove that the phrases kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are used interchangeably. We're going to begin by looking back up in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And what we're going to do is see that Matthew records this heaven as the kingdom of heaven, while Luke records this heaven as the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 3, this is the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to talk primarily about the kingdom of heaven. In fact, as you study the life of Jesus, the message of Jesus Christ is not about dying and going to heaven, but rather the message of Jesus Christ is about the kingdom of heaven that God has prepared for His obedient children while they live here in this world. And in the Sermon on the Mount, it is the kingdom of heaven that is the central theme of the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5 now, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and verse 3. As Matthew records the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he says in Matthew 5, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the what? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, that's the way Matthew records it. Now, turn to the parallel passage. He calls it, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the what? Kingdom of what? Kingdom of heaven." Now, turn to Luke chapter 6 and look at the parallel passage in Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 20, we find that Jesus, according to Luke, said, he lifted up his eyes, Luke 6, verse 20, he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now, what does Luke record Jesus as talking about? The kingdom of God. What did Matthew call it? The kingdom of heaven. We can go all the way through the book of Matthew and Luke and look at all the parallel passages, and you'll find that Matthew records it, usually, the kingdom of heaven. Luke records it as the kingdom of God. Now, I'll give you a list of scriptures later for you to study if you would like. But now I want you to notice in Matthew 19, look please in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 and 24. This is an occasion where in one verse, Jesus uses the expression kingdom of heaven, and in the very next verse, he uses the expression kingdom of God. Now, what are we trying to establish? What was the first thing we established? Is that there is more than one what? There's more than one heaven taught in the Bible. Can somebody here give me a scripture that proves that?
2 Corinthians 12:2.
Yes, very good. 2 Corinthians 12:2 is a scripture that tells us there's more than one heaven. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is that the phrases kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are used interchangeably in the scriptures. Look at Matthew 19, verses 23 and 24. The Word of God says in Matthew 19 and verse 23, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." Kingdom of what? Kingdom of heaven. "And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the," what? "Kingdom of God." What does Jesus do in Matthew 19, 23 and 24? All he does is exchange the phrases kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. So the first lesson is there's more than one heaven taught in the Bible. The second point is that the phrases kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are used interchangeably in the scriptures. Now, the third thing is, listen carefully, every single preacher in the New Testament preached about this heaven that we're talking about. They did not concentrate on the eternal heaven. The focus of their ministry and the focus of their preaching and the focus of their teaching was on this kingdom of heaven. Now, I want you to see, and we're going in the next 5 minutes, we're going to look at 84 preachers and what they preached about in the next 5 minutes. So please follow this carefully. Who was the first preacher of the New Testament? Who was the first preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ? Who was that?
John the Baptist.
Now back up and let's see what John the Baptist preached about in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Please follow this. Don't get lost. Every single preacher in the New Testament preached about the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. John the Baptist is preaching. The scripture says in Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is," what are the last two words there? "At hand." Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, there are several things that that tells us. First of all, it tells us something that we have to do to enter this heaven. What is the first thing that the Word of God is telling us here that we have to do in order to enter this heaven? What do we have to do?
Repent.
What does repent mean? means to turn away from sin. Doesn't mean that you feel bad about it. Doesn't mean that you feel sorry. Repent means to turn away from. And John the Baptist began his preaching by saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is," and again, what are those last two words there? "At hand." What does that mean, Brother Neil? It's now. It's here. Repent for this heaven that we're talking about. Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, Jesus is the second preacher in the New Testament. Look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew 4 and verse 17. The Word of God says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is" what? "At hand." The kingdom of... Is there any difference basically in what Jesus preached and what John the Baptist preached? He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then Jesus chose 12 apostles in Matthew chapter 10. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. These are the next preachers after John the Baptist and Jesus. You have the 12 apostles, and their names are given to you in Matthew 10, verses 2, 3, and 4. And then he told those 12 apostles, he sent them out, he told them where to go and where not to go, and he told them what to preach about. What do you think they told them to preach about? Listen, Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, he said, "As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." How many preachers do we have so far? Child. I want a child to answer this. How many preachers do we have so far? Who was the first one we looked at? Who was the first one? A child. Who was the first one? Okay, Brother Rance. John the Baptist. Who was the second preacher we looked at? Jesus. And then we have 12 apostles. How many is that in all? 14. Very good. Now then, turn in your Bibles very quickly. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, the Word of God tells us that Jesus chose 70 disciples. In Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 1, Luke 10, verse 1, the Word of God says in Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, "After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come." And then he talks to them and he tells them in verse 9, he tells them what to preach. He's sending out 70 other preachers and he tells them what to preach. He says in verse 9, "And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." What's he saying? Same thing that they were saying earlier. Same thing that the first 14 preachers were saying, and that is, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Is there any difference in the phrase, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you"? It's the same thing. Now, how many preachers is that? How many are mentioned in Luke chapter 10?
70.
How many are mentioned in Matthew chapter 10? Matthew 10.
12.
12. And then you have Jesus and John the Baptist. How many preachers is that in all so far? That's 84. We got another minute. Listen carefully. Go to the book of Acts. Let's see in the book of Acts. Let's see what heaven the preachers were preaching about in the book of Acts. Please look in your Bibles at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Well, let's stop in Acts chapter 8. I mentioned, I forgot to mention Philip. He's very important, isn't he, Brother Philip? Yes, he is. All right, let's listen to what Philip had to say in Acts chapter 8. And I thank God that this isn't the only Philip that we're reading about in Acts chapter 8 that is preaching about the kingdom of heaven. But Brother Philip that's here tonight, he preaches about this same kingdom of heaven. And it's because of his teaching and preaching to other people that some are here tonight. It's because of his ministry to other people, talking to other people about the kingdom of heaven. Listen now, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, the Word of God says, "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." What was Philip preaching about? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Now go to Acts chapter 20. Who wrote more books in the New Testament than any other writer? Who wrote? The Apostle Paul. Well, let's see what Paul preached about. Acts chapter 20 and verse 25. The word of God says, and now, this is Paul speaking to the elders at Ephesus. He's telling them what he's been preaching and what they're to be preaching about. In Acts 20 and verse 25, the scripture says, and now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. What had he been preaching to these people? What had he been preaching to these elders at Ephesus and to all the other people? He had been preaching the kingdom of God. Now turn to the last two verses in the book of Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 28. Chapter 28. Listen, please, to verses 30 and 31. Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. The word of God says, and Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. That's 86 preachers that we've talked about so far. And I want you to know that if every preacher in the New Testament is concentrating their preaching on the kingdom of heaven, every preacher today ought to still be concentrating on that same subject. That is the main theme of the New Testament. Jesus Christ is the King of this kingdom. Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Jesus Christ is our all in all. But Jesus Christ, the Old Testament said when he came, he was not only going to save his people from their sins, but he was going to establish his kingdom. And that has been accomplished. Jesus is right now ruling and reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus today is rewarding his people according to their works. And if I were to ask you, what do you have to do to go to heaven? Your first question should be to me, which heaven are you talking about? Because it makes a big difference which heaven you're talking about. If you're talking about the eternal heaven, it's not based on my works, my obedience, my faithfulness, my hearing, or believing the gospel. Me going to the eternal heaven is based on what God has done for me. However, God has established another heaven called the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And if I want to enter the kingdom of heaven, I have works that I must do to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, listen carefully. We need a definition for the kingdom of heaven. We need a definition for the kingdom of heaven. I want, and those of you that are taking notes, I want you to write down the name of this book, because this book is extremely important when you come to when you start looking at definitions. It's the best book that there is. In fact, I'm going to tell you, it is the only book that you should ever buy to get definitions out of concerning the scriptures. And here is the definition. Well, let me give you the name of the book. The name of the book is just write down T-H-E if you're writing down. And the name of the book is the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book. That's the only book that you ever need to look at for definitions in the Word of God. The Word of God says here, let's see. Let me just ask you this question. Brother Philip and I, we're very, very, very smart men. Y'all all know how smart we are. And so if Brother Philip and I had been listening to John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, the 12 apostles, the 70 disciples, Philip and Andrew, and all of these other preachers, we had been listening to the Apostle Paul and everybody preaching about this kingdom of heaven. Eventually, he and I are smart enough, we would have said, what is this kingdom of heaven? What is this kingdom of heaven? Is that a good question to ask? Do you need to know what is the kingdom of heaven, since that's the theme of the New Testament? Well, let's look at what the Bible says is the definition of the kingdom of heaven. Look in your Bibles now at Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. The Word of God gives us the definition of the kingdom of heaven. The Word of God says in Romans 14 and verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not... Now, is there a difference in the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God? No, they're the same thing. We've already looked at that. I can give you plenty more scriptures to show that. But the Word of God says, for the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Question. Did the Jews believe that when the Messiah came, he was going to set up a kingdom? Yes, they did. They believed that when the Messiah came, he was going to set up a kingdom. That had been prophesied by all the prophets of the Old Testament. There was going to be a kingdom. There was going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There was going to be a new Jerusalem. And they were looking forward to that new Jerusalem. And they were looking for a wrong kind of kingdom. What kind of kingdom were they looking for? They were looking for a natural, material, physical kingdom. That's the reason they showed Jesus all the buildings of the temple, and they all thought they were going to have an office there in Jerusalem, and that Jerusalem was going to be the center of their reign over all the world. And Jesus right here is busting their bubble as well as in other places and telling them, oh, my kingdom is not a material kingdom. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now that is the definition of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Have you ever felt that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost? Brother Robbie's shaking his head, yes. Tell me where, Brother Robbie, tell me any place that you have ever felt that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Okay. When you're living right, you're in the kingdom, and you feel that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you have to be in the church in order to feel the righteousness, peace, and joy? Now listen carefully. I am not giving you an excuse to stay away from church. All I want you to know and understand is that even though God has commanded that we are to be in God's house, we are to come and worship Him, I want you to know that you don't have to be in the church to be in the kingdom of heaven. God's people, there are those that are unable to be in the house of God tonight that are probably laying on their beds in the nursing home, and they're feeling that what? What are they feeling? They're feeling that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Though they're in the nursing home, they're in the kingdom of heaven. There are children of God in other countries who have never heard the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that as they follow the leadership of the Spirit of God in their lives, they find the kingdom of heaven. They enter into the kingdom of heaven and experience that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. They may not ever know it's called the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't make any difference, brethren. If you can just feel the kingdom of heaven, if you can feel that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, you're going to be happy. You're going to be rejoicing. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. Now, as all these smart Jews heard these preachers preaching about the kingdom of heaven, one day they found Jesus, the Pharisees did, and they demanded Jesus to tell them, where is this kingdom of heaven? Now, do you already know what the kingdom of heaven is? Where's the definition for what is the kingdom of heaven? Romans what? 14:17. That's the definition of what the kingdom of heaven is. Now, let's see where the kingdom of heaven is. It's the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. Oh, yes, it can be. Thank you, Brother Mike. But it is not limited to the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. Listen, Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. The Word of God says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. What does that mean? The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It means you cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 21, he says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Do you hear that? That's a definition, not a definition, but that tells you where this heaven is. The kingdom of God is where? Where is it? Brother Terry, you've been hearing this for years from Brother Philip, haven't you? Oh, yeah. It's within you. It's within you. You ever been in the kingdom of heaven? You ever had the kingdom of heaven in you? Yes, thank you. Now listen, everybody listen. Sometimes the Word of God says that we enter into the kingdom of heaven, and sometimes the Word of God talks about the kingdom of heaven being in us. And here's the way that I try to explain that. If I was on a bridge over a creek and I had this glass right here, and I were to drop the glass down in the creek, would the glass be in the water or the water in the glass? Both. See? And when you're in the kingdom of heaven, you're completely engulfed by the Holy Spirit. And it's all around you and it's in you. The kingdom of heaven, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, it is in you, but it is all around you, and you are in it. So it is not wrong to say that we enter into the kingdom of heaven, and it is not wrong to say that the kingdom of heaven enters into you. And that's the reason when Jesus started preaching and said that in Matthew chapter 6, he said this, that when we pray, we're supposed to pray and say, Thy kingdom come. You see? Thy kingdom come. I want the kingdom now. I want. Listen, brethren, so many of God's children are saying, oh, I just look forward to going to heaven, and I look forward to dying and one day seeing Jesus. Well, I'm thankful that one day I'm going to see Jesus because of His amazing grace. Yeah. But I'm more thankful right now that He established His kingdom here on the earth. And I'm glad that I can feel Jesus and have God with me today instead of having to wait till I die. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, we know what the kingdom of heaven is. We know where it is. Now the question is, what do you have to do in order to enter the kingdom of heaven? Going back to the original question, what do you have to do to go to heaven? Here we are. Let's say we have every preacher in this community. Got them all together in this building. And somebody says, we've got one question we want y'all to agree on. We've got one question for all of you. What do you have to do to go to heaven? You're probably going to get as many different answers as there are preachers in the building. However, if God's people can begin to understand the different heavens, especially understand the difference in the eternal heaven and the kingdom of heaven, it will break down all barriers, or at least most barriers, between God's people. What do you have to do to go into the kingdom of heaven? Turn in your Bibles very quickly to Matthew chapter 7, Matthew 7 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. The Word of God tells us that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Well, let me ask you this first. Did John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, did they tell you something to do in order to enter the kingdom of heaven? When John the Baptist began preaching, what was the first thing he said you had to do to enter the kingdom of heaven? Repent. What did Jesus say you have to do to enter the kingdom of heaven? Repent. Now look at Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Brethren, if I were to ask you what you have to do to go to heaven, when it comes to eternal heaven, the Bible says it's not of our works, not by our works, and not according to our works. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, you have to do the will of the Father. You have works to do to enter the kingdom of heaven. The Scripture says in Luke 16:16 that the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. The Scripture says in Acts 14 and verse 22 that Paul and Silas went back to Lystra and Iconium, confirming the souls of the disciples and telling them that it is through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do you have to make sacrifices to enter this heaven called the kingdom of heaven? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Jesus said, listen carefully, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, everything else you need, all these things will be added unto you. May God help us to understand this important message. May God help us to learn how to teach others this important message. And may God help us to see the number of disciples multiplied, is my prayer for Christ's sake.